The Random Jottings of Hinge and Bracket with Dr. Evadne Hinge and Dame Hilda Bracket. With Jean Hayward as Maud and friends and neighbours at Stacton Trestle in Hilda's Little Wooden Hammer.
When it comes to spending money on herself, Evadne doesn't. Well, you've only to look at her. She's given a whole new meaning to the word dowdy. Not that she's a miser or anything. It's just that she's simply not interested in what she calls fripperies. I don't know what fripperies really are, but according to her, I buy an awful lot of them. However, Evadne does occasionally splash out, usually on something starkly utilitarian, like a second-hand pair of lifeboatman's waders. Or a new chipping hammer for her oxyacetylene welding kit. Well, the upshot is that she has developed a very curious set of values, as I was reminded one morning recently when we were having a bit of a clear-out at our music emporium. I say, Evadne, look what I've just found right at the back of this drawer.
What is it? A dead cat?
Don't be ridiculous. It's a feather boa, dear. It's the one that I bought at that sale in Brighton. Oh, it must be 4 or 5 years ago now. Do you remember that day? I spent the afternoon at the sale, and you went off round the aquarium with the friends of the fish.
Yeah. Yes, I remember.
And then in the evening, we went to that little restaurant in the lanes, and they wouldn't let you in unless you left your bucket of seaweed outside. Oh, you were so cross. You know, I didn't think I'd still got this feather bearer. I'd completely forgotten it.
Well, why don't you just put it back where it was and forget you ever found it?
Oh, I'm not going to stuff this back in a drawer.
No, you're probably right. Chuck it out.
Chuck it out! This once belonged to a very famous singer there.
Who?
I can't remember offhand. But I know it was someone terribly famous. Someone like Jenny Lind, I think. Mm. It used to have a name tag on it at one time.
It still has, Hilda. Look, there. Dorothy Perkins.
Was she a singer?
Probably. They named a rose after her.
Oh, she must have been a good one then. All Melba got was a dessert.
And toast.
Yes, well, that's a bit crummy, isn't it?
When you've quite finished there, can we please get on? Now, have you decided what you're going to do with that silly feathery thing?
Yes, I have. If it suits me, I'm going to take it home and wear it. You can't get feather boas these days for love nor money. There. Now, how do I look in it?
Well, if you really want to know, dear, you look as though you ought to be club dancing in a gin palace with a pig's trotter in each hand.
Oh, is that me? You really have no soul at all, do you? Well, that settles it. I'm taking this home. I shall wear it when I'm reading Barbara Cartland. I'm sure she'd understand.
Hilda, might I remind you that the object of today's little exercise was to go through the entire stock of this shop, to throw out the rubbish and to reduce the price of any articles that have been in stock too long in preparation for our summer sale.
Honey, you should say that, Evadne. You know I've been thinking. I don't think we should have a sale at all.
Oh? What had you in mind, then?
An auction there. Then we don't need to price things at all. We can just bump them up as high as we can get them.
But to hold a proper auction there would be much more expensive. I mean, we'd have to print a catalogue, we'd take advertising space in several journals, hire a professional auctioneer.
Oh, no, we wouldn't need to hire an auctioneer there. Look what I found in that drawer under the feather bearer. A little wooden hammer. Going, gone. Say to the gentleman with the bright blue eyes, the warm smile, and unless I'm very much mistaken, the toupee at the back there. Oh, no, it's at the front. Well, Evadne, what do you think?
I think you'll ruin the business. And do stop waving that hammer about. You'll break something. Oh, good heavens, here comes Maud.
Oh, Dame Hilda, don't! I beg you, don't!
What is the matter with you, Maud?
Oh, I knows how very irritating the doctor can be, and heaven knows I'd be the last to defend her. But she ain't worth swinging for.
What are you talking about, Maud?
Oh, I just made a fool of myself.
Of course not, Maud. You did that years ago. But I must admit, you've just raised your foolishness to new heights.
Hey, Abner, if you're going to speak to Maud like that, I will hit you with my hammer.
Dame Mildred, I'm ever so sorry. What must you think of me? I should have known that no matter what, nothing would ever make you lose that sweet temper of yours.
Oh, thank you, Maud.
Yuck.
Shut up.
Except in her, of course. Do you know, Dame Mildred, I mind the time as my Arthur raised his hammer at me.
What, dear?
He only did it the once. I had it out of his hand before he knew what had hit him. He's still got the dent in his head. Just there, just above his ear. That's why he wears his cap crooked.
You mean it slips, dear?
I mean he wears it crooked to cover the dent in his head.
Oh, I always thought he was trying to look jaunty.
We'd not been married a week, and he were out in the yard making a rabbit hutch.
Yes, the magic soon wears off, doesn't it?
Now, whether he didn't hear me coming up behind him with a mug of boiling hot tea in me hand, I don't know. But there he were with a plank of wood across our kitchen chair, one foot up holding it steady, soaring away and very nearly through, when I calls out, "Tay up, Arthur!"
Did he hear you all right?
Don't try to be sharp, Evadne. At least she doesn't mumble.
Well, you should have seen him jump. The plank snaps, the chair collapses, the sword goes through his trousers and things. He yells, I jumps, and the hot tea goes all over his hands. That's when he picks up the hammer.
Now, Maud, did you come down here for a reason, or simply to regale us with bizarre tales of life with Arthur?
If you must know, Doctor, I come down here to scrub you out.
I beg your pardon?
I sometimes feel I'd like to do that at that.
Dame Hilda asked me to give the place a good scrub out, so it's all spick and span for your sale.
Well, as a matter of fact, dear, there's been a change of plan. We're not going to have a sale now.
Oh, so you'll not need scrubbing out then?
We're going to have an auction instead.
So will you need scrubbing out or not, then?
Well, after a good deal of argy-bargy, I finally got my way. Evadne agreed to have an auction, and we were scrubbed out. Mind, I rather wish we hadn't been. Maud makes such a mess when she scrubs, and it took a good deal of persuasion to get Evadne to clear up after her. Anyhow, within about a week, we'd sorted the stock into lots. Had a catalogue duplicated, mailed copies to anyone we could think of, including, by mistake, ourselves. We'd placed advertisements in the press, and with 3 days still to go, decided to hold a little dress rehearsal. Righty, Daphne, are you ready now?
I'm ready, Hilda.
Then, let's begin. Now, dead on 11 o'clock, Maud will pull open those red velvet curtains at the back. And I will sweep out. I shall move graciously towards the podium, smiling, nodding, and generally acknowledging the assembly.
Would you like me to play the entry of the gladiators for you? I mean, then you could trot round the ring a couple of times and make it like a horse show.
Evadne, if you're going to be sour, dear, I'd sooner you weren't there. I really would. Mind you, it might be an idea. Yes, on second thought, you could play something when I enter. How about Hello, Dolly?
Hilda, I think you'll find that you'll be able to dispense with all the theatricality, dear. Or do you imagine that Christie's was founded by the minstrels?
Ha, ha!
dear. Flair, that's what they call it. The old razzmatazz. This auction is going to be one to remember.
Then heaven help us.
Now, having arrived at the podium, I shall say good morning, my lords, ladies, and gentlemen. My name is Dame Hilda Brackett, and I am your auctioneer.
Do you imagine they're going to care?
There's no need to be miffy, Evadne. You won't be left out. I shall introduce you as well. I shall say, and the gaunt and faintly sinister figure dressed in black. Who you see hunched over the desk to my left. Dr. Evadne Hinch.
Thank you. Hilda, if we're not going to take this rehearsal seriously, I think I'll go home and spray the green fly.
Any particular colour?
That's it.
Oh, don't be ridiculous, Evadne. I'm taking it perfectly seriously, dear. Now, do come back. And why aren't you hunched over your desk? That's where you should be when I introduce you.
I was supposed to be acting the part of a buyer, Hilda.
Yes, but on the day...
On the day, I shall be hunched over my desk.
Don't you want to practice your hunching, then?
Hilda, we wouldn't need to practice at all if we had a professional auctioneer. This is for your sake, not mine. Now, can we please get on with it?
Very well. Having bid them welcome, I commence the sale. I say, and we start with lot number one. Well...
Well, so far, so good.
I mean, well, come on here, Evadne. I've started the auction. If you're a buyer, make a bid, dear.
Well, what is lot number one?
You know perfectly well what it is.
Yes, I do. But I'm pretending to be a buyer who doesn't.
Well, you've got a catalogue, haven't you?
No, I haven't.
Then you'd better get one, hadn't you? There's a pile of them on that shelf over there. Why do you have to be the only person in this entire room who hasn't got a catalogue?
Hilda, let's assume that I've arrived late.
Right.
I've left my catalogue at home.
Yes.
And now all the catalogues have gone.
Right. Then you'll have to get a peek at somebody else's catalogue, won't you?
What I'm trying to say, Hilda, is it is customary for the auctioneer to tell people what each lot consists of.
Oh, well, if they want spoon-feeding. Lot number one, the grand piano, which, in case you haven't recognized it, is the big wooden thing with three legs standing over there with a number one chalked on it.
I wouldn't adopt that attitude if I were you, Hilda. You'll only get people's backs up. Now, why don't you just start again?
Very well. Lot number one, the grand piano. Evadne, do pay attention there. I said lot number one, the grand piano.
Yes, I heard you.
Well?
How much?
How much what?
How much is the bidding going to start at, Hilda?
Oh, I'm supposed to be a mind reader as well. How would I know? You tell me.
Well, isn't there a reserve on it?
No, just two brass candlesticks and the music piano.
Hilda, you know perfectly well what I mean. Now start again, and do try to get it right this time. Announce the lot number. Tell us what the lot consists of, and tell us what you think the bidding should start at, in the case of that piano, let's say, £100.
Right. For the umpteenth time, lot number one, the grand piano. We'll start the bidding at £100. Now, what's the matter?
I'm not bidding.
I noticed that, dear. But why aren't you bidding?
Because I'm not prepared to pay £100 for that piano.
Why not?
Because it's too much for me.
Honestly, Evadne, what kind of idiot are you supposed to be? You arrive late, you leave your catalogue at home, and now it turns out you haven't got any money. I do hope we're not going to get many like you.
You'll probably get loads like me. That's just what I'm trying to prepare you for.
Well, if we get loads like you, we may as well put the shutters up. All we're going to get is a lot of mouth and a few coppers for the catalogues. Why did you tell me to say £100, then, if it's too much?
Well, Hilda, there might be someone who'll be willing to pay that.
How will I know?
Well, you won't until he bids.
And supposing he doesn't?
But exactly. That's what I'm testing you on.
So I've already said I want £100, and the chances are that no one's willing to pay it. So I'm standing with egg on my face. What happens next?
Well, you reduce the price. And you keep reducing it until someone does bid.
This is beginning to sound rather counterproductive. I thought bidding always went up. However, we'll try again. Lot number one. The grand piano. Who'll offer me £99?
You'll have to come down a bit more than that.
Very well, then. 95.
Oh, don't be ridiculous, Hilda. Start at 75.
It's worth more than 75.
Oh, you probably get more than 75.
Then why are we wasting all this time?
Hilda, you wanted an auction. I was always for a sale.
Yes, and you needn't think you're getting me to change my mind now. I haven't banged my hammer once yet. So we'll say £75. Now, come on. Come along, Evadne, make a bid. Well?
I just made one.
I didn't hear you.
One doesn't shout, dear. It's not a street market. I simply inclined my head.
I didn't notice.
And that is why we should get a professional auctioneer. He would know what to look for. You see, if I incline my head ever so slightly, like that, that indicates that I am bidding. Like that. But, of course, other people have other methods. Some may tap their noses. Some may pull their earrings. Well, the women, anyway. Some, of course, may just raise an eyebrow. And some will scratch their chin. You see, the art is to be able to distinguish those who are bidding from those who are merely itching or twitching.
Do you mean to tell me that if somebody standing right at the back chooses merely to waggle his ears, I am supposed to spot him?
That's exactly what I mean, Hilda. Though, of course, no doubt, once the people at the back realize that you are not a professional auctioneer and that your eyesight is not what it was, alas, they will do something more obvious, like wave their catalogues or raise their fingers at you.
If anyone does that to me, they're out.
Oh, Hilda, have we got a customer?
Ooh, Japanese by the look of him. We don't often get Japanese in here.
It is the tourist season here.
Yes, but we're usually lucky if we get a cycling party out from Bury St. Edmunds. You better leave him to me there. My upbringing was more cosmopolitan.
You mean you've knocked around more?
I mean, Evadne, that one cannot take leading roles in the Mikado, the Geisha, and Chuchin Chow without acquiring a very strong insight into the Oriental mind and character. Don't forget, dear, I have spent a good deal of my working life in kimonos and tea houses. Now, just you watch me. Good morning.
Ah, good morning.
Chon Kina. Chon Kina. Chon Chon. Kina, Kina. Nagasaki, Yokohama, Hakkadaki, Koi.
Ah, Geisha. Great Socceroo whopping hit. Book by Owen Hall. Music by dear old Sidney Jones. Opened at Dairy's Theatre on 25th April 1896.
Well, how very nice to meet someone in the business.
No, not in the business. Humblest apologies. Permit me to introduce myself. My name is Masayuki Sakamoto. I am a curator of Museum of English Musical and Theatrical Arts, which is being established under auspices of the University of Yokohama. You, I assume, are Dame Hilda Beckett.
Oh, why, yes, dear, I am. You've heard of me in Yokohama.
No, I heard of you in Tottenham Court Road.
Your fame is spreading, Hilda. How cosmopolitan can you get?
Presumably, Mr. Sakamoto, you also heard of my colleague here, Dr. Hinge.
No.
So much for your fame, Evadne.
Ah, I'm much honored to make acquaintance of colleague of great lady.
Oh, isn't he sweet? Now, you say Tottenham Court Road, Mr. Sakamoto. Now, let me see. Who do I know in the Tottenham Court Road?
Popeye Oraton.
Poppy Oraton. Poppy Oraton. Oh, bless him. I thought she was dead.
Well, she's not far off it if she's in Tottenham Court Road.
You mean in the little bookshop?
So, little bookshop in Tottenham Court Road. She say, you go, Stockton Plaza. You see Dame Hilda Blackhand. You tell her, Popeye sent you. You purchase much of interest for new Museum of English Musical and Theatrical Arts. So, you sell, I buy.
Well, that sounds fair enough. Why don't you just browse around and see what you want?
Thank you so much. I browse, I choose, then I write big fat check.
That sounds absolutely splendid.
Now, just a minute, Hilda. You do realize you can't sell any of the lots that are in the auction catalogue, don't you?
Oh, I know that, Evadne. Don't be such a fusspot. Anyway, there's plenty of other things for him to buy.
Maybe, but what he appears to be most interested in at the moment is one of the lots.
Excuse me. How much you want for this pile of music here?
Well, as a matter of fact, dear, that's a lot.
I want a lot of music. But I have a lot of money, so what's the problem?
Well, put like that, dear, I don't think there is one. Not that can't be resolved. So you just choose anything you want, and I'll give you a very fair all-in price for it all afterwards.
So, very, very fast.
Hilda, you can't let him have that stuff.
Why not? It's for sale, isn't it?
It's for auction, Hilda.
Anyway, whatever he buys, we can replace it before Friday. Luckily, I worded the catalogue pretty vaguely.
Well, be it on your own head.
It always was anyway, so where's the difference?
Excuse me, please. I like everything I see. I buy rock, stock, and barrel. Except I don't want grand piano.
We're never going to be able to sell that grand piano, dear.
Shall be most pleased to display entire correction in special room, which, with gracious permission, shall dedicate to your honorable self and name the Dame Hilda Blackheart Room.
I tell you what, Mr. Sakamoto, you shall have a recording of me singing one of the songs from the Musne. How about that? Oh,
should be most deeply honored.
Evadne. Dig out the score, then, and find that song, Honorable Jappy Bride, would you? Then get to the piano and stand by.
Very well. Well, what they're going to make of you in Japan, heaven alone knows.
Well, they'll understand your bit all right. I mean, you managed to make everything sound like chopsticks. Now, Mr. Sakamoto, perhaps you would help us to add authenticity. I just thought that perhaps when I give the signal, you might oblige me with a bang.
Huh?
Or that big gong over there.
Also, with the greatest pleasure, Sakamoto considered one of the best gong bangers in Yokohama. Gong banging in Sakamoto's blood.
Well, isn't that wonderful? Now, where's my little wooden hammer? Ah, yes, there we are. There we are, Mr. Sakamoto. Right, everybody. Are you all standing by? Ready in studio? We're going for a take. Going, gone.
Honorable Jeffy Bride, when she's tied up in marriage, must not be heard to say one word, her husband to disparage. Honorable English dame, not the same, she's far older. Of nobody does she stand before, so happy she soon lays down the law if he begins to scold her. Someday I may be most tip-top merry little lady. Oh, my, have my way in everything I do. I'll find nice guy, 5'6", and a color bright book. So it's no use thinking of a silly little boy. My. Honorable Jeffy, why she has, she's crazy, there's a pepper leaving her knee. A little English man, no big lamb of the tin sort. She never gets stopped or pushed aside. I'm certain when I become a bride, I'd like to be the tin sort. Sunday, I may be my tip of Meredith's lady. Oh, my, won't I have my way in everything I do? I'll find my skies, height of 6 foot, amicable bride cook. So it's no use talking to a serial boy. Right,
that was Hilda's Little Wooden Hammer, a further extract from the random jottings of Hinge and Bracket, written by Gerald Frau. To assist Dr. Evadne Hinge and Dame Hilda Bracket, we welcomed Jean Haywood as Maud. Our thanks also to this week's guest, Timothy Bateson, and to the members of the Stacks and Trestle Music Appreciation Society for their contribution. Production was by Bobby Jay.